Good morning. Glad you are with us, and we are in our second week of our series on a spiritual smoothie of the fruit of the Spirit. I'd like to start off by just reading the verse that references what those fruit are. They are the character qualities of Christ that he fashions in us through the Holy Spirit. It's the work of God, but it's also our combined work together, our cooperation. So let me read it for you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. In fact, why don't you repeat them? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. How many of you can use more of those? All right, we got some growing room to do. So this weekend we're talking about joy. Say joy. And when I think about joy, there are hundreds of verses in the Bible that reference joy. Most of them, how we're to express ourselves or what God brings to us and the way we worship him and the difference he makes in our life, that fruit of the Spirit. But I'd like to take a trip down memory lane with me, actually with me and Joyce, to the first church that I served at where we met, Evangel Temple in Akron, Ohio. It was a little more organized in the flow of the service. They had a printed bulletin, which we used to have. Then they had an order of service printed in the bulletin for visitors. They'd know what was happening next because it could be a little unnerving when you're a little unsure. And in the order of service every week, there was a printed scripture reference, and we would read it out loud as a congregation in unison. And so whenever I think about joy, this kind of comes to mind. And so I'd like to ask you to stand with me, all right? Pretend it's 1980. You might not have been born yet, but go with me. And boy, to go way back in those days, I didn't wear a suit. We had to sit as a staff on the platform in what they call clergy pews, you know, and all that. But anyways, so we are reading the scripture verse that day out loud, and somebody is up front leading it. And so I want you to read this out loud with me. Ready? Let's go. Let the godly ones exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Now, don't put the next verse up yet, back room. I want to qualify it. You're going to stay standing. We're going to read again, but this time, just read it quietly. And you will read it as it appeared in the bulletin at Evangel Temple in 1980. And you'll notice why. I don't know if it brought joy or just hilarious laughter, but go ahead and read what was in the bulletin. No, not allowed. Yeah, we all hit that second line at the same time. What a difference one letter can make, huh? All right, so it was hard to recover from that, I will admit. Okay, don't be seated yet. So say joy. You almost can't say with your face making a partial smile. And you know I've quoted, I think Dr. Seligman does studies on happiness. And back to the mental health series, God created us body, soul, and spirit, and he created our body to interact with our soul and whatnot. We're connected, interconnected. So there are things I can do physically that will affect me emotionally. I've said it before, we're gonna do it again. You can get an automatic lift, all right? Just internal lift by smiling. It has to be a toothy grin. Everybody smile. All right? Smile, lift your eyebrows a little bit, teeth showing. Don't stop. Takes 30 seconds. All of a sudden, endorphins are going to start kicking in. You know, you just feel the whoop, all right, whatever you're feeling. Say joy. Okay? Look at your neighbor and smile. Keep smiling. Just say joy. You look better when you're doing that, all right? All right, now, go ahead and let's do some more nonverbals. Tell your neighbor, I'm frustrated with the look on your face. Just do it. Don't say it. Just, what do you not get about nonverbal, all right? Look at your neighbor and say non-verbally, I'm scared. All right? Look at your neighbor and non-verbally tell them, you're amazing. A little bit of smiling or two. Okay, all right, have a seat. Going to talk about joy. This Wednesday, Pastor Jordan will do a deeper dive in that in the West Auditorium. There are a lot of learning opportunities, in fact, this week. Join me Tuesday morning. It is our monthly leaders connection. It is kind of a follow-up to the Global Leadership Summit that we host every August. And I'll do a look at just different leadership and life principles. And regardless of what walk of life you're in, it's a chance just to meet with other people who are sharpening their lives and their impact. It starts at 7. We're done by 8. There's a continental breakfast. You can shoot that QR code or text leader to that. Show up Tuesday morning in the 600 hall. Come through door 2. And then Wednesday night, as I mentioned, there's not just Deeper Dive, but there are several discipleship classes happening. Our partners, Emerge Ministries, that are an amazing recovery ministry, are teaching a class called Navigating Addiction. And if you are battling addiction or have a loved one who's battling addiction, how do you do that in a healthy way? How do you not become an enabler? How do you handle the frustrations, the ups and the downs for yourself or for them? And so we asked them, would you please come and just, having been there, done that, share with us, how do we navigate addiction in our life or the life of our loved ones in a healthy way? That'll be this Wednesday. As well, there's a men's study based off the retreat that was just this weekend, Got Your Back. There's a class on how to study the Bible. There's a parent discussion group. There's a CR step study for ladies. Grief share is going on if you've lost a loved one in the recent past. There's a class on the Holy Spirit in 107, 8, and 9 and how he impacts us in a life of worship. And in 2 weeks, there'll be a class on anxiety, anger, and depression. We had to bump that a couple of weeks for some circumstances. But there's a lot to learn and grow. And as I've said, you can't get everything you need for your Christian walk just in this room. So join us Wednesday night at 7 at one of those opportunities. With that said, if you have the CLC app, you can follow along with us as we talk about joy. Joy is something or someone greatly valued and appreciated. Joy is a source or cause of keen pleasure and delight. So would you say the joy of the Lord? Bible says that that is our strength, and it is, the joy of the Lord is a source of keen pleasure or keen delight. And Jesus, in his earthly ministry, talked about joy. He said that he is filled with joy, and he said, these things I've told you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be made full. And so joy should be one of the characteristics of us as Christ followers. And I thought it was curious, again, never saw it before. The first point is the 210 joy of Jesus. What an interesting message the Bible sends in that there are two narratives that tell the birth story of Jesus, Matthew and Luke. And they talk about the shepherds and the wise men and whatnot. And in both of those, in chapter 2, verse 10, there is a reference to great joy surrounding the birth of Jesus. In Matthew 2:10, talks about the wise men, when they saw the star over Bethlehem, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Say, great joy. And then you jump to Luke, chapter 2, verse 10, the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of, say, great joy, which shall be for all the people. So that is sort of an underlying indicator, a hint to you, okay, there's great joy coming up. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, and the fact that we can have a relationship with him. So put a smile on your face and just say Jesus, all right, because he is meant to be that joy for us. Joy feeds on the goal and is independent of circumstance. Well, this is important. Joy is different than happiness that can be momentary and situational. And there are probably three primary goals that believers have. One is to do God's will and get to heaven. How many plan to get to heaven? All right. The second one is to look as much like Jesus in the process of getting there, that the fruit of the Spirit would grow more in me. And the third goal is to bring other people with me on the journey. And so as we understand what motivates joy, joy is not necessarily motivated or cultivated in us as a character quality by everything we like and things going great and everything being comfortable. But that's okay, because life isn't full of everything. It's not always comfortable. It's not always what we like. And so let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, as an example of Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Say, keep your eyes on Christ. Because, man, when you take your eyes off of Jesus, it is so easy to be disillusioned, discouraged, go the wrong path. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy, say joy. For the joy set before him, what joy? The joy of accomplishing his Father's will, doing God's will, and getting to heaven. He emptied himself, came to this planet, lived among us, didn't get the respect he deserved, died on the cross for our sins, not his, was buried in a grave, overcame that, and the joy set before him was, I'm going to please the Father, I'm going to do God's will, I'm going to get back to heaven. That was the joy set before him. So that joy that was ahead of him motivated him to go through all the rest of that. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Why? Well, what motivated him to, because he could have called angels to take him right off that cross, but he endured it. Why? Because of the joy of hearing his Father say, well done. Endured the cross, despising the shame. Horrific existence on this planet he didn't deserve. And he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So you can call some joy out of life, just knowing where you're going, wanting to do God's will, and someday imagine hearing him say, well done. That's a motivator for us, the joy, because there are times life is not joyful circumstantially, but heaven is joyful eternally. Yeah. And so when I'm having a hard time here, I think of the joy that's going to be there. James chapter 1, verse 2, if my goal is to look as much like Jesus in the process, reminds me of what that process is like. He says, consider it all joy, my brethren, ladies too, when you encounter various trials. How many of you have encountered various trials? It is still not natural to me that when a trial comes up for me to go, oh, joy. It's counterintuitive because I struggle and here it is again. But he goes on to say that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result in you, that you'll be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing, and you'll look more like Jesus on your way to heaven. Testing shapes you. The things that I'm thankful for, when I go through that list of the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that are doing fairly well, that didn't get cultivated laying on a beach on vacation. Didn't get cultivated sitting in a recliner feeling like life is great. No, love, joy, peace, patience. Oh my goodness, patience right there. Kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Those get cultivated and shaped when it's hard. When I want to lose my cool and self-control. When I'm tired of being patient. It gets tested. And so James says, consider it all joy. Joy, the junk you're going through, the good news is it is being used to help you achieve one of your goals, and that is, through this, when I'm done, if I lean into the Holy Spirit working in me, I'm going to be more like Jesus than before this started. And then, independent of circumstance, listen to what Paul says. And again, I want to kind of de-Americanize our thoughts of joy because we tend to make joy. Everything's wonderful, right? I wore my daffodil shirt today, by the way, for you. It's springtime, all right? It's springtime and flowers. Life isn't always springtime and flowers. And joy, the crazy thing is about the joy that God gives to us, that joy, you can have that when all hell's breaking loose. That's what's amazing about it. And look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Great is my confidence in you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I'm filled with comfort. I'm overflowing with joy. Say, overflowing with joy. And where is he doing that? In all our affliction. Joy is not circumstantially dependent. And then joy is expected and given by God. If you have a relationship with him, he's like, well, you better be joyful. Why? Well, you got a relationship with me. In fact, the people of Israel, he's going through in the Old Testament how they can experience a curse. And he goes, if this happens, you're going to be cursed. Well, if what happens? Well, he says in Deuteronomy, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. Go back and read Deuteronomy 28. Okay, if you're not gonna serve me with a glad heart, then there's gonna be a curse for you because I expect you to do it with joy. So it's not this, okay, I gotta serve God. I guess I'm supposed to do that. No, there's meant to be a sense of joy because as we lose our joy, it shows we're not keeping our eyes on Christ. Because when I keep my eyes on Christ, how can I not have joy? knowing what he went through and where he is, then I can go through anything because of where I'm going to be, and I have joy. But when I take my eyes off of Jesus, I can lose that. And you look at Psalm 16, verse 11. I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. Say, joy of my heart. Smile big and say that. Joy of my heart. Now, there are some stories that many of us could tell, but we're going through right now, that maybe there's not a lot of joy in your heart about it. And I know in a crowd this size, some of you feel like you're living through hell on earth. And there's pain, there's disappointment, there's heartache, there's betrayal, there's, I mean, whatever. And there may not be anything to look at that brings joy here. And the nice thing is, as followers of Christ, we have this book that gives us thousands of years of history of how God worked in other people's lives. And these testimonies can be a source of joy and encouragement for me when my life circumstances are not. I can look at Joseph, who was totally misunderstood by his family, rejected by those he loved, and maybe that's what you're going through, and I can see how he stayed faithful, kept his eyes on God and God's will, and he had that joy and saw God's will fulfilled. And so I can look at those testimonies, and I can see the testimonies that are joy to my heart. I can look at Mary, the mother of Jesus, let's go to Christmas, and see how God's will flipped her dreams upside down. If we learn anything from Mary, it's that God does not exist to fulfill your every wish and desire. In fact, sometimes he takes your wishes and desires and lets them flip upside down and then does his will. And the testimony of that is meant to be a source of joy to me. Okay, God, I'm going to trust you. So this book can be a great help to us when our current life seems joyless. And then 1 Chronicles chapter 16. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy, say strength and joy, are in his place. And when I see that verse, you know, all of us have had an experience recently, I would assume, where we celebrated that God made the heavens and we celebrated his splendor and majesty. And the strength and joy that are his, we had this thing called a total eclipse. I think we overestimated how it was going to affect traffic. But I underestimated how awestruck I would be at that moment. Did you? I mean, it's incredible. It was one of those good job God moments, you know? And I watched part of it here with staff, and I ran home for the rest of it, and it was cool because you saw it get darker and darker, and you heard the birds stop chirping, and it got cooler, all right? And then all of a sudden, there was this, felt like a holy moment. And Joyce said, I think once it's fully eclipsed, we can look at it. So we did, you know. I took this picture with my iPhone, and I was just like, good job, God. And I know a bunch of you took better ones, and I already saw some of you said, well, look at my picture, okay? But I was just amazed. I was just amazed. I couldn't help but think of Psalm 8. You know, David obviously loved creation, loved being outside in it. And a few years ago, we did a series on the different ways people connect with God, and one of mine is being out in creation. And, you know, David on a starry night. In fact, last night I let the dog out before we went to bed, and I looked up, and there was the moon and some stars, and just, good job, God. You know, when I look at the heavens, when I consider the heavens, he said, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? God, who are we? You see the eclipse. Who are we? You see creation. You see all of nature that he spoke into existence, and yet he loves us. Like, how do you not smile about that? And then when we look at it, let's see. Make sure I got it all. There are some things that can steal your joy. There are some things that can cause us to lose joy. Some of those are, we don't fight the battle here. Well, some of those are, we look for joy in the wrong places. Now, there's nothing wrong with people and things experiencing joy about them. How many of you ever had somebody in your life and you experienced joy in your relationship with them? How many of you, some of those same people, turned out not to be joy? How many of you ever had something and that thing gave you temporary joy? All right? I remember a 1988 Pontiac Bonneville, before some of you were born. All right? First new car we bought as a married couple, great deal on it. It looked great and it had the amber dashboard. I thought I was driving a spaceship. That was my favorite car. And I remember just after Christmas visiting family, we went to get something to eat at Lou and High's restaurant, Delicatessen, and there was only one other car in the parking lot. When we parked it there and went in for dinner, it was a snowy night in Akron, and when we came out from dinner, there were no cars in the parking lot, ours included. Lost my joy. But I was reminded, it's man-made. So that joy is temporary. And so if you put, but sadly, there are some people, and they got all their chips are in on things or somebody on the planet or some ambition or goal or experience or whatever. And when we misplace our joy, and another way we can lose our joy is with lingering sin that's unresolved. You've heard me say many times that when we sin, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, and the right response is, say, repentance. When I repent, say, I'm forgiven, and there's no need for me to carry guilt, all right? But if I skip that, I go from conviction, I skip that repentance, and I do denial, or I do rationalizing, or I compare it, or whatever, and I leave that sin unresolved, try to cover it up, whatever, outrun it, man, that'll drain the joy right out of you. Happened to a man after God's own heart named David. David was the king of Israel. He had this incredible providential opportunity from God. And he committed adultery with a woman named Bathsheba. And rather than repent of his sin, David tried to cover it up. You can read the story. It's horrendous. Went from bad to worse. And evidently several months later, there was a prophet who came and confronted David about his sinfulness. And David finally broke after all that internal hidden agony. And as David broke in that moment, he says, restore to me, in Psalm 51:12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. And to believers that are here, if that cycle of sin and conviction and repentance has gotten so routine, you just skip past the repentance and just go on, that could be why you've lost your joy. Or if you try to rationalize your sin or blame your sin or justify your sin or whatever, no, just repent of it and tell him you're sorry and allow him to forgive you, and you'll have your joy restored. If you're not a Christ follower, then these are empty words and you don't know a whole lot about the kind of joy I'm speaking of, but you can experience that fully with God. Aren't you glad God doesn't hold grudges? But he forgives and he restores. And then finally, would you read this last point out with me? Joy is a response and a choice. Say it again.
Joy is a response and a choice.
It's both. In Psalm 92, verse 4, for you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. Done, I will sing for joy at the works of your hands. I can't help but think of Romans 1, where Paul says the invisible attributes of God are seen in what he has made. It's those good job God moments. So when I think about the works of God's hands and the things he has done, forgive me if I'm not real grandiose, but you know, I mean, when I thought, okay, what are the things that caused me joy that God has made? One of the things that God has made, the works of his hands that causes me joy, is puppies. I mean, a guy came home yesterday, I said to Joy, he says, have you seen that couple? They're walking there, there's this cutest little dog about yay big. It's got like chocolate and white. It's adorable. It just makes you smile. If you can't smile over a puppy, cry out to God for help. And if you need some joy, Google cute puppies. I mean, go into YouTube. Giggling babies give me joy. Oh my goodness. You can YouTube that too and just lift your mood. Just giggling babies. Snowflakes.
I may be simple, I'll always be blown away by snowflakes. They land on your sleeve. Wow, look at that. Sunrises and sunsets and mountains. That's like five things that when I see what God's made, just. So I want you to practice that because joy is a response and a choice. So I want you to choose to do this exercise. Would you put your, right like this, put your counter up, five fingers. Now, no repeats. So I just took puppies, smiling babies, snowflakes, sunrise, sunset, mountains. Can't do those. He's made more than five things. I want you to list five things quietly out loud that bring you a sense of good job, God, joy. Go on. List them. List five. Would you just say, good job, God? There's good job gods all over the place today. Notice them. Respond to them. Yeah, but, respond to them. The second thought as far as a response and a choice, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord sometimes, always. Again, I will say rejoice. That's written in the imperative. It is a command. It's not optional. I don't care what's going on. Rejoice what? In the Lord. Maybe not in the mess, the disappointment, the whatever, in the hardness of it, no. But rejoice in the Lord always. It's a choice. And then finally, in Psalm 33, verse 1, say, sing for joy. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. And so if joy is a choice and choosing to sing is a choice, I thought it'd be great. We're gonna close by baptisms. But before we do, I thought it'd be great for us to choose joy with a song that basically sings about that. And I'm trading my sorrows and I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. It's an old one, it was one of my favorites. So stand together with us, and as the time is right, you can put your hands together and clap, but let's trade our sorrows for joy, because joy is a conscious choice.